We are still on the subject of consecration. And before I allow you to sit, I will need someone to tell us what consecration is about. What exactly? Where is Joy? Joy. So you can use my microphone. Okay, we have another microphone. What is consecration? What is consecration? Just in case there's anyone in the... Maria. Yes, that's my student. She's been following. Let's hear her out. Maria, what is consecration?
Thank you, sir. I believe it's separation of ourselves unto Christ so that we can become more like Christ and more like Him.
It's a deliberate setting apart of ourselves to serve the will of God. Now, okay, you got that right. And that is the only thing you can do that is reasonable, given that Jesus paid your bride price in measures of His blood. The only way to reciprocate that act of love that God has done is to consecrate yourself to serve His will. Now, you see, most people, when they came to the Lord, they were not told that they had any responsibility. When you hear the average African believer praying, he's praying with a sense of entitlement and asking God for a breakthrough, asking God for a miracle, asking God to kill his enemies. Just like a sister, for the past 9 years that I've known her, she always has a prayer request. So I had to stop her and say, now, what are you planning to do for God? For the past 9 years, you'll be sending me prayer requests of what you want God to do for you. The answer she gave, you will need to understand chemistry to be able to be. It's a complex answer. Even me, I don't even understand it. So I'm not sure God understands it. Jesus died for you. He paid for you with blood. The only thing that you can do that will be a reasonable response to that kind of benevolence is that you consecrate. Don't forget it. You are no longer your own because of that payment. Right? Because part of what gives Jesus the legal right to influence your life and to demand from your life is that He paid for you. Even though He paid for you, He will not force you to serve His will. He wants it to be worship, that you had a choice to refuse, but you became reasonable, and then you decided that you will offer yourself as a living sacrifice. If there is no choice, then there is no worship. If there's no choice, there's no worship. Okay? So today, we are trying to take a look at the consecrated person. How does he look like? Please make someone welcome as you take your seat.
Welcome again. Welcome again. Welcome, sis.
How does the consecrated believer look like? First of all, are you with me? All right. First of all, I would like us to refresh our memory with a few facts. The first fact is that the nation of Israel was chosen by God. Is that true? You believe that? Okay, so this is the vision that God wanted to fulfill through the nation of Israel. The vision is in the book of Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. You know, America is a nation of politics. You know that India is a nation of philosophy. It has become a nation of computer science and information technology. Germany is a nation of engineering. The United Kingdom is a nation of education. Ghana is a nation of gold. Let me stop there. I will update the list when things are better. I will update the list. Nigeria was supposed to be a nation of commerce. I have an inventory of the mineral resources. Compared to, in terms of mineral resources, Nigeria is richer than the U.S. Yes. I worked in the petroleum industry. I have a little insight into the mineral resources that we have. We were doing a project on gas, and the gas in Nigeria can hit Europe until Jesus comes back. And I'm telling you with facts and figures. I deleted all the data on my system because I was looking for a bailout. I wanted to do ministry. So I was just hanging in by the thread of my wheel. And when the Lord said, move. So I didn't bother to put those figures in my brain. All right. So every nation has a vision. And this is the vision that God wanted to implement in the nation of Israel. Now, I would like you to read Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, please. All right, Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. Maria, help us. You don't have a microphone? Okay.
Exodus
19,
verses 5 and 6, and it reads, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a particular treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests."
So that's the vision. God wanted Israel to be a kingdom of priests. You see, he was making a proposal to them. If you are going to be a nation under my authority, you will therefore need to obey my voice indeed and to keep my covenant. These are the two requirements that God puts on the table. If they do that, he's going to make them a peculiar treasure unto him above all people. And the duty of the peculiar treasure is that there will be priests. Are you there? So the national calling of Israel was a calling of priests. And every Israelite is supposed to be a partaker in that national calling. Are you following now? Okay, so this is it. Unfortunately for Israel, because she decided not to be consecrated, she could not fulfill that vision. So it is not enough for you to be called. Have you heard that saying? Many are called. You see, so the issue is not having a calling. Many will not fulfill the calling because they are not willing to consecrate themselves. So Israel could not operate at the capacity of becoming a kingdom of priests because Israel refused to consecrate herself. Are you there? So indeed, there is a call upon everyone, because that which God wanted to implement through Israel that he could not implement, now he wants to do that through the church. It means that the kingdom of priests that God had envisaged for Israel, he wants to implement that same policy with the church of Jesus. Now, there is a rendering, I guess you use the New King James Version of the Bible.
King James Version.
Did you use the old King James?
Yes.
Okay, because I did not hear peculiar treasure.
Yes, I said.
Is there?
Yes.
All right. Now, so the status of a peculiar treasure is the status that God gives a people that have accepted his government. That means they are willing to follow his, obey his voice, and to keep the terms of his covenant with them. It means that they accept God to govern them. The designation he gives to those people that are willing to be governed by God is what? Peculiar treasure. You get that? Does that designation ring a bell in your ears? Because in the book of 1 Peter, we're going to go there, the Bible begins to give us perspective about how God sees us. Are we there in 1 Peter? Okay, let me read that. Let me read that to us. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 5. Are you there? It says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up into the spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Give me a moment. Let me jump, because this reading is going to be long. Can you jump to verse 9? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. What? Peculiar people. Can you see that God is giving us the designation of a peculiar people, because in the church, we that are called the church, the members of the body of Christ, accept the headship of Jesus. Now, the principle of headship, if you still remember your elementary biology, there's something called the nervous system. The nervous system. All right? So we have what is called the central nervous system. The central nervous system consists of the brain and the spinal cord. Right? It is from the brain that every form of coordination takes place. If you need to blink, it's the brain that will order it. Blink, because there is dust. If you need to carry out a reflex action, a conscious action, it comes from the brain. And the transmission that comes from the brain is relayed through the spinal cord to every nerve ending. That's the idea of headship. Because Jesus is the head of the church. The Holy Ghost is the one that occupies the place of the spinal cord. That which is conceived in the head is transmitted through the Spirit to every single member of the body of Christ. Are you there? It is government that allows that kind of dispensing to take place. So the parts of the body that refuse to be governed by the head, they are in a state of paralysis. Whenever you find a set of people that are willing to be governed by God, the designation that God gives them is that they are a peculiar people. Can you see? It says they are a holy priesthood. So the vision of priesthood is transposed from Israel as a nation Now we are the holy nation that is supposed to fulfill that vision. If you study the Bible, you will find out that God doesn't like inventing things so much. If he has a purpose in mind, and maybe he tries to fulfill that purpose through this person, and the person doesn't allow him, he will still advance that purpose to the next person. It is not as if he will create another purpose. That same purpose, he wants to implement it. If you understand all the dynamics that took place in the book of Genesis chapter 1 in the fall of man, you'll find the same dynamics in the fullness of time in the book of Revelation. Because God wants to fulfill his plan, his purpose. He's not just trying to reinvent plans. He has an established purpose that he wants to fulfill, and he could not fulfill that purpose through Israel as a nation. And then he decided to make the church the holy nation, and it's the same vision that God wants to fulfill through the church. And in the same way that Israel, refusing to consecrate to God, could not fulfill an established, based national policy, national vision, that's what happens to a believer when you refuse to consecrate yourself to serve the will of God. The purposes of God will need to find expression through another vessel. Please, I'd like you to remember this, my quotable quote. God's plans are constant. Please help me preach. Help me preach your neighbor. Preach. Are you afraid of your neighbor? God's plans are constant, but his men change. The plans will not change, but the individuals that execute the plans can change. He will never change his plans. He will change you and me. So one of the reasons why God may need to change you is because you have refused to consecrate yourself. So Israel, even though they were called, there was a grand vision for them to fulfill. They could not fulfill that vision because they never became consecrated. That's number one on my note. Number two on my note is that there were 12 tribes among the Israelites, but not all of the 12 tribes received the holy service. Even though their call to priesthood as a nation was supposed to make everyone a servant of God. But you see, because the 12 tribes, not all of them were willing to consecrate themselves, not all of them eventually received the holy service. Are you still with me? It was only the tribe of Levi that was willing to receive the holy service. And I need to say something about Levi quickly. In the book of Numbers, chapter 3, verse 11 to verse 13. Maria. Numbers 3, 11 to 13.
Numbers chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, And I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine.
So this is the downgrading of the original national vision. Yes, this is the statement of decree that came from God to downgrade that original national vision, which implicated every Israelite and designated them to be priests. Because of their unwillingness to consecrate themselves, God took a special liking to the tribe of Levi. And this was the day of the adoption of Levi. That's what she's reading. Go on.
Because all the firstborn are mine.
All the firstborn are mine.
For on the day I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn of Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be.
He said, because I delivered the firstborn in Egypt, Those, the firstborn were supposed to die through the visitation of the angel of death. But I paved the way for their escape. That's the reason why I'm demanding that all the firstborn that open the metrics will be dedicated unto me. Are you there? Yeah, go on.
I am the Lord. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord.
So it was in this decree of the Lord that he adopted the tribe of Levi. So Levi was now chosen. Levi was chosen to carry out a national vision. It was not supposed to be a tribal vision. It was supposed to be a national vision. But it eventually is becoming a tribal vision now because Israel has refused to consecrate herself. And unfortunately, even though Israel or Levi was chosen by a royal decree, which is what we just read, it will interest you to know, number three of my note, that the tribe of Levi was eventually chosen, which is Numbers chapter 3, verse 11 to 13, but refused to consecrate themselves. Only the household of Aaron received the holy service. So we are seeing a downgrading. First of all, it was national. Are you there? Then it became what? Tribal. Then now it's becoming the household, what? Of what? Aaron. Should I say something here today? If we refuse to consecrate, you see, nations are corporate personas. God doesn't see nations as 350 million. He sees them as one man, a corporate persona. And he assigns to a nation a prophetic purpose. There is a reason why every nation under heaven is existing. Just like if you set up a business and open an LLC, IRS sees that LLC as an entity. All right? So God sees every nation as a single entity. And to that nation, he gives a prophetic assignment. Okay? Now, if the nation refuses to consecrate themselves to God, they will be unfit to fulfill that assignment. So God now downgrades the national vision. He looks for a tribe that can carry the weight of the national vision. The implication of that is that the spiritual resources that are needed to power that national vision, God will make it available to just one tribe. The rest can become, they can be without support, they can be without provision, they can be without protection. But the tribe that has consecrated herself to fulfill that previously national vision that has been downgraded to become a tribal vision will receive the full allocation of what was meant for a nation. And just in case that tribe refuses to consecrate themselves, what God now begins to seek are individuals. The individual is the last line of consideration. You are not with me? Are you with me? So you now realize what happened in the book of Revelation when Jesus was no longer looking for the churches to find people. He was now looking for individuals. He that has, he came to the church. He was supposed to pick a congregation to fulfill a corporate purpose in him. And it was in that situation he was moving around. They had locked him out. He was standing at the door to knock because he was no longer present in his own house. His expectation changed. He started looking for individuals. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The message was meant for the churches. But now he's looking for individuals to carry the message. And the reason why that kind of downgrading takes place is because we refuse to consecrate ourselves. If God should open your eyes, right? I have decided that I will no longer be discussing my encounters online. What we will do, if I want to discuss it, we'll shut the... Then I will tell you what I have seen in heaven. I will tell you some that have not yet come to pass, so that when it happens, you will know that I told you. Because people believe that I'm advertising my spirituality, that he's saying that he sees angels. I see them almost every day. I see them. You cannot use the Bible to contradict that kind of encounter. I see them. People that were right with God. People that were right with God in the Bible, they saw angels. I see them. It's part of my calling. I cannot... There's no way you think that I would say, okay, I don't see them again. No. That's how I was made. My calling requires it. Do you understand it?
Yes.
When we begin to go high in the spirit, the way we were going while we were ministering, I begin to see things. I'm not asking to see it. Right? So people say, oh, he's advertising his spirituality. Who cares? Okay? Now, I have seen some things in heaven. And you are going to see in the days to come, people that will be displaced. The reason for the displacement is because of a refusal to consecrate themselves to God. Whenever you hear that people miss out on God, it is because of a reluctance to consecrate themselves to God. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Now, so having understood this, I want to show you the portrait of a consecrated man. The details of consecration in Scripture, they're in two Old Testament chapters, two New Testament chapters. So we did the New Testament chapters the other day. You still remember it? Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 12. Okay? Now, so we have Exodus 28. I'll show you verse 1 first. Exodus 28 verse 1. Because Exodus 28 and Exodus 29 carries the full scope of the imagery of consecration. Another twin scripture, because God never speaks something in just one scripture. He will create another scripture and speak about the same thing in another scripture. He must have at least two witnesses for every truth. Is that clear? All right, so if you need a witness for that, you will find the same thing in Leviticus chapter 8. But we are going to focus on, can we do Exodus, Maria? Exodus chapter 28, verse 1 and 2.
Exodus 28,
chapter 28, verses 1 and 2.
And take thou unto thee Aaron.
Stop. Aaron. So the reason why I'm asking you to read that is because I want to show you what happened. The national calling became what? The tribal calling. And now the tribal calling is about to become a household calling. So God is asking Moses, take Aaron, your brother. So what he wants to do to Aaron is the procedure that will make him consecrated. You will not know how powerful consecration is. If you are in a spiritual warfare, what I advise, consecrate yourself. Don't be living for yourself anymore. Live for God. He will fight for you. Oh. Well, I'll speak little. Okay, so yes, Maria, go on. 1 and 2.
Take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons.
And verse 2, yeah?
And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty.
Stop. First of all, he is being inducted into an office. This office was supposed to be the office that every Israelite was supposed to function in. And his induction into this office of the priesthood is the high place of his induction, is the purification that is needed for him to be worthy of the garments. You see, in the Old Testament, are you with me?
Yes.
How many of you here want to begin to see visions and see all kinds of... Okay, so let me tell you the easiest way to see visions. Go to the Old Testament and read the Bible, the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, what Moses did was that he made spiritual things to be visible. You are not following me? Okay. Stay with me. You know, Moses was that prophet that God revealed his ways to. It was Moses that God gave the technology of divine priesthood. How to set up a system upon the face of the earth that can grant God earthly permission for heavenly interference. So, in the priesthood and the things that Moses did, spiritual things were crystallized into physical, relatable dimensions. That was the grace in the life of Moses. Now, so these guys were to be ushered into an office. To operate in that office, they will need to go through the process that makes them qualify to put on the garments of that office. These garments of this office, they were physical garments, but each piece of the garment is pointing to something that is spiritual. So Moses was able to download spiritual things and to trap them in physical, visible semblances. You get that? So if you want to see visions, let's go to the Old Testament first. When you see the ministry of Moses and the things he downloaded, and he made those things, those are spiritual things that through these workings of the word of wisdom that was upon his life, he was able to crystallize those things, and they were demonstrated as natural. Philip, I sent you a WhatsApp message. Can you put that on this screen? Because there is no way we can teach without you seeing what I'm teaching. It's because you did not see it before. That's why they were vague to you. Spiritual things should be... You should have an imagery at the back of your mind for every spiritual thing, because they do not exist without muscle. And that's why we need to consult with the Old Testament again and again, because the explanations of many things we find in the New Testament, the content, the body of that truth is in the Old. Right? It was concealed in the Old and then revealed in the New. The body of that truth is in the Old. And you need to be the master of the two testaments in order for you to make truth look so clear that it forms a vision in the hearts of men. So what I'm trying to do is to get Philip to put that image of the priest on this screen. Then we'll begin our lecture for tonight. You want to know how a consecrated life looks like? That's where we're going. You have been brought into an office, which is an office of a priest, because the Bible calls you a royal priesthood. And this royal priesthood, you are supposed to serve in that office with some garments that you put on. These garments have spiritual significances, and the implication of each piece of the garment is a description of your life of consecration. This is the first level, not all. This is not all. This is level one. Don't get too excited when you say, yes, these garments, I have these things. Calm down. Calm down. Calm down. Are you following me? All right, so this is the high priest. This is the dressing of the high priest. Because it was Aaron that God asked Moses to fish out first. All right? They are going to conclude Aaron's consecration and put him within his garments in order for him to now begin to minister as a priest. Every one of us is called to be a priest. And you are supposed to be putting on every piece that is on Aaron. Every piece there. But you see, it will interest you to know that, are you there? This is a full regalia. Because the Levite has three pieces of garment. The Levite ministers in the outer court. Are you there? The Levite ministers in the outer court. And most often, at the age of 25, people that are descendants of Aaron, that are male, they begin to practice apprenticeship in ministry. So they are given three garments. You still remember this man, Ezekiel? Ezekiel was supposed to be a priest. That was his calling. And at the age of 25, he was ready to become an apprentice. Are you following? It was in the day that Ezekiel started his apprenticeship. That was the day that they were carried into Babylon as captives. And it happens to be that the worship of God as established in Jerusalem. Are you with me? Is tied to a building called a temple. And every training that they had received. Just imagine that you train to be an expert in a certain field. And your practice of your knowledge is tied to the laboratory in that field. And then the day you graduate, you're given the license to operate in that place. Something happens in the city. And you guys are taken captive. That's what happened to Ezekiel. It means that all the hopes, because he was supposed to do apprenticeship for 5 years, and then when he's now 30 years, that's when he can enter into the holy place to carry out, either burn something at the altar of incense, or, you know, to serve within the holy place. He will need 5 years of apprenticeship in order for him to qualify for that kind of service. He started his apprenticeship and they carried him and many, even some of the priests that he was learning from, they were on their way to Babylon. It was in that motion, leave it. So here we are. The Levite has three garments, the priest has six garments, the high priest has nine garments. So this is the complete attire. First of all, you have something called the linen robe. Linen robe, you can see it there. That's the first thing that the priest puts there. There's one that you cannot see. It's like undershorts. You can't see that one. It's not depicted in this our diagram. You can see it. But the undershirt covers his nakedness. And then the linen robe now covers his flesh. Are you there? The undershirt that covers his nakedness. Do you still remember the story that took place in the Garden of Eden? When Adam rebelled against God, the first symptom of Adam's rebellion was that he noticed that he was naked. A strange type of nakedness, though, because normal nakedness makes you ashamed, and the kind of nakedness that Adam was naked was a nakedness that made him afraid. It's a strange type, and I don't want to go there. I don't want to go. Do you still know? Do you know that part of the reason why unbelievers give their life to Christ when we preach a salvation message is that the salvation message makes the, gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity to show them a picture of their nakedness. So when they see, nobody can stand that picture. Because all the symptoms of uncertainty accompany that picture. You don't want to remain in that state for a long time. And that's the reason why Adam went to hide himself. So the first thing that has happened to this priest is that that nakedness, that insecurity, that vulnerability that is as a result of the original sin has been dealt with. And so there is covering for nakedness in form of underpants. That's indicative of the fact that this priest is born again. Are you there? Second garment is the linen robe. You still? Are you there? Let me give you a scripture. From the language of the book of Revelation, and I want to take you to the book of Revelation chapter. Can we do Revelation chapter 7 verse 14? Oh my God. Okay, Maria, let's do 13, 14.
Revelation chapter 7
verse 13,
verses
13 and 14.
And 14. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes?
What are these which are arrayed in white robes?
And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
The robes that we are talking about here is, it captures the context of our new nature. Our old nature was rebellious, and in the eyes of God, the only thing that humankind was capable of doing very well was to rebel. But in the new covenant, on the account of our salvation, something took place in the court of heaven, which is what we call justification. In justification, we are declared righteous. This robe that you are seeing here, this is the physical representation of our state of justification, our state of righteousness. So whenever you move in this realm of the spirit, maybe God gives you an out-of-body experience, and you see people in that white robe, it means that these ones have a new nature, and their new nature is righteousness. Are you there? If you see people that don't have that white robe, your guess is as good as mine. So do you still remember? Do you still remember the mountain of transfiguration? The Bible says that Jesus began to radiate, and then his garment became white and glistering. That's how Jesus looks in the realm of the supernatural. He just manifested his reality. Now, we were not told that Jesus was wearing white before he got to the Mount of Transfiguration. But when that reality began to superimpose any color he wore, we were not told the color. But when that reality began to manifest, how did it come? Manifested as glistering white. That's how we exist in our new nature of righteousness. So righteousness is a nature. Holiness is a lifestyle that stems from this nature. Is that clear? Okay. Then number three, we have the upper robe. The upper robe is blue in color. And this upper robe is you can only wear it one way and one way only. It doesn't have buttons. It doesn't have this kind of button that my own has. It has just few buttons up here. So imagine that I just have few buttons up here. There will be only one way I can wear that garment, which is up, from up through my head. Do you get it? So that upper robe is actually talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because it has to come. You can't wear it with your legs. How does it come? You wear it. That's baptism in the Holy Spirit. Are you there? It might interest you to know that it is these blue robes, what we call the upper robe, that carries a bell and a pomegranate, and then a bell and then a pomegranate. Can you see that? Not following me. Can you see the diagram? Philip, at the end of the service, Philip is going to make that diagram available for everybody in soft copy. We'll just put it on our group. Then you download it to your phone. And then go and read all the scriptures round about it. I'm just trying to explain. If you check that blue robe there, you will see a bell. Then you will see something round. That's a pomegranate. And then you see another a bell separated by a pomegranate. Now you will notice something. Let us try to count. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. This one here is the one at the back, 9. So you have 9 bells and you have 9 pomegranates. Are you with me? Which is the 9 gifts of the Spirit, and then the 9 fruits of the Spirit. As we go, maybe we'll give just 15 minutes for the Holy Ghost to break out. So the 9 gifts of the Spirit, the 9 fruits of the Spirit. You know why the fruit of the Spirit, are you there? Separates each gift. The bells are not together, and then the fruit one side together. The one fruit is separating. You have bell, fruit, bell. And because of the spacing, are you with me?
Yes.
When this priest is walking, because of the spacing, that sound that comes out of the bell is like the sound of heaven. The rhythm is impossible. It's impossible. Now, what that means is there is harmony when someone is gifted with the gifts of the Spirit, and it is balanced with the fruit of the Spirit. You see, when I minister under the gifts of the Spirit, maybe the gift of prophecy, maybe the gift of healing, wow, I'm attractive. You see, that one, God has invested in that man, and you want to come close to me. Right? What will make you come close to me and remain close to me is that I manifest the fruit of the Spirit. You will now see that I'm more beautiful than the gift that attracted you. But you see, when there is no fruit there, that sound is not coordinated. The man is making sound, but if you go close to him, may the Lord give you understanding. I don't know how many of you met men that make sound without fruit that balances it. May you not be okay. If you have met such a man, may God have mercy. May God have mercy. However, if you have not, may you never meet such a man. May the Lord give you understanding. May the Lord. I don't want to go into details. Today I was dealing with a case today, and my wife was there. A strange case. There was no counsel. We didn't have counsel. It's a situation of a man that has bells, shining bells, without the pomegranate fruit. And he has caused damage in the lives of so many people. He's one of the people whose case was brought to our table. And there's no wisdom. We need to go and seek God's face to know how to deal with that matter. Because it would have been better that that person did not meet that preacher. The person's life is complicated because she was attracted to a man with bells. May God help us. So I don't have time to go through all this because I want to move. I want to move to something else. So this matter, three things. The Levite has the underpants. The Levite has the white linen, the righteous nature. The Levite also has the upper robe. Are you there? The priest has an additional thing. It has what we call the ephod. The ephod is this material. Are you there? And then on the ephod, he has something called the curious girdle. You see, I don't know how the name women give to this kind of garment. That kind of garment, how do you call it? Is it this thing? That white one. If you have something that looks like that, what do you call it? Oh, we are in America. The name is different here. So, that kind of garment, I don't know what you call it. You wear it. And it goes all the way down. Those days, they used to call it maxi. So this maxi, you will discover that there is a way it is sewn that the person's shape, you will not see the person's shape because it's covered in the maxi. Now, so the curious girdle, that's where it comes in. It now comes to reveal the shape. Whereas the garment, the white garment is our nature of righteousness. When the shape becomes visible, those are works of righteousness. Now, a lot of people end at the nature of righteousness, but they don't proceed to the point of righteous deeds. Meanwhile, the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Are you there? Oh, you are not with me. Come. Ephesians. I want to move to number two. You go finish with the garments. Huh? I shouldn't move. We will not finish this lecture. Oh my God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Are you with me? If English language means anything, we were not saved by works. Is that true? Okay, stay with me, verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto" what? Good works. We were not saved by works, but we were saved unto good works. Can you see that? It means that good works must result in your claim of salvation. So many people claim to be saved, but there is no corresponding good works that follows their claim of salvation. The curious girdle brings the shape of that righteousness. It brings that shape out and makes it visible. You were not saved by works, but you were saved what? unto good works. So currently now, if you still have a boyfriend that you are sexually active with and you are not married, it means this your life. It's difficult for us to verify your claim because there are no corresponding good works coming out of your nature of righteousness. So we have every reason to doubt your experience of righteousness, which is supposed to be our new nature, if it's not manifested with corresponding works. Let your light, he's saying, allow your light to shine. And if you see the cry of Jesus in that state, in that scripture, he's saying that your light will shine through good works. There are several people that will never know Jesus if we don't take love to them. And thank God we have a kitchen. We're going to cook food. Then we look for people that need it. Not people that have, people that need it. A meal, a hot meal on a sunny day might be the manifestation of salvation in the life of somebody's life. Are you there? That they might see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. In order for you to qualify to function as a priest, you have gone beyond the Levite. Your own righteousness must be backed up with good works. We're not saved by works, but we're saved unto what? Good works. Okay. So where are we? The effort. This effort, we are moving into priesthood now. We're moving into serious matters. This effort is a warehouse. This effort, it carries a chain up there. What's the chain called? Golden clasp. This ephod carries the breastplate, which is what you are seeing here. Can you see that? It's a warehouse. The ephod is that garment. It carries a chain here. And the chain links the ephod so that you can carry the ephod on your chest. And the ephod carries 12 stones. Are you there? Please help me count. Should we do the counting today? Or we'll leave it? Maybe we'll leave it. I want to show you that Satan, are you there?
Yes.
Satan has 10 out of those 12 stones. It's only 2 stones that Satan doesn't have. And that's why Satan has the capacity to mimic God most accurately. Because he has 10 stones. It is 2 that he doesn't have. Huh? Oh, you are not with me. Now, I'm not ready to teach that tonight. I just want to show you. Then when we start, I will start with each of the stones. You will know what the onyx is about, what the jasper is about, and then the precious stones. Because the Bible says that we are lively stones. Well, not just stones, we are precious stones with different refractive indexes. You see, there's a dimension of the operation of God on your life, Zilla, that is unique to you for all time. If you don't shine in the brightness of that light, there's a way Christ in you illuminates your vessel. There's a way Christ in you manifests himself, and it is unique to you. Because you are a different stone. When he say we are lively stones, not stones from the quarry site, precious stones. Are you there? Now, if we do this teaching very well, you are supposed to know which stone represents you. That's what I'm saying. But that's not for today. Let us see if I can help. If I can help with Ezekiel. Maria, are you interested in this reading? You are, okay. Because of you, we are going to. Ezekiel 28, beginning from verse number 11, and my emphasis is verse 13. Please, let us count the stones. You will notice that Satan does not have 12. Yes, Maria?
Ezekiel 28, verses 11 through 13. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty.
Can I explain what is happening here? Just like King David, he was a man after God's heart. His heart was aligned to God, and because he was aligned to God, he sought God's will on every national matter, affording God the opportunity to be the one that was ruling through his throne. So in his time, Israel was identified as the days of heaven on earth, because it was God, through the yieldedness of David, that was ruling through his throne. So David mirrored the kind of king that God was, and that was why he earned the covenant of David that I read about on Sunday. This king, he was so yielded to Satan, his physical king, so yielded to Satan that he mirrored all the dimensions of Satan. And when he was being spoken about, are you there? His description, because he mirrored Satan so much, his description is equivalent to the description of Satan. Is that clear? So read now.
Thou hast been in Eden. The garden of God.
The garden of God.
Every precious stone was thy covering.
Every precious stone was thy covering.
The sardius.
Please count. One.
Topaz.
Two.
And the diamond.
Three.
The beryl.
Four.
The onyx.
Five.
And the jasper.
Six.
The sapphire.
Seven.
The emerald.
Eight.
And the carbuncle.
Nine.
And gold.
Ten.
The workmanship.
Stop. He had ten. This priest has 12. Only two dimensions that Satan doesn't have. When I teach, I will teach you about the secret things. The secret things are the things that God concluded before creation. These are the things that Satan does not know. And that is why the Bible is full of the miscalculations of the enemy. Have you read the scripture that said if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory? The crucifixion of Jesus as a means of satisfying the claims of divine justice was one of the secrets that was penned down in the heavenlies that Satan did not know. It was Satan himself. Do you see, when Jesus prophesied, he said, now is the judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world is cast out. And if, who prophesies with an if? Is a prophecy a probability? If I be lifted up. Because it was not Jesus that was supposed to lift himself up. Because Satan did not know those secrets, it was Satan himself that was now responsible for lifting Jesus up to make that prophecy efficacious. It is because of secret things that were written before creation began. So I'm going to show you those things. In fact, these are the kind of teachings that they are not for the public. We're supposed to do it. It's a secret. It's a secret. I will show you those things, and I will show you the two stones that Satan does not have. Build your life on those two stones forever, and you will remain in mystery to the kingdom of darkness. If you understand it, say amen.
Amen.
Yes, help me, help me. You see, the problem now is that my time. I have a full lecture. Now we are stuck. We are stuck. We are stuck. Oh, are you following me? So the effort is a warehouse. Part of what the effort contains is what we call the breastplate. The breastplate, you still remember that there are 12 tribes of Israel? So each stone represents one tribe. Each stone represents one tribe. And the breastplate talks about the intercessory ministry of the priest. That forever, all the stones of Israel, all the tribes of Israel, will remain on his heart. He bears the burden like a curse on his heart, the burden of intercession for the entire Israel. When last did you pray for your neighbor? When last did you pray for your city? When last did you ask that the rain of salvation will visit your neighborhood? Some of you, the Lord brought you out from darkness. Have you remembered to pray for those that are in darkness? I say, Lord, the way you delivered me, deliver as many as are still groping in the darkness. A priest is supposed to carry burdens perpetually that are sown upon his heart. Living for him is burning incense for the 12 tribes. That's what living is about. Living for you might be making US dollars, flying business class, navigating with a Rolls Royce, and you come out, you are looking for somebody to hold your hand for you. But for this guy, he's living. He's described in bearing the burdens that he was ordained to carry. That's who we are. We are priests. We are not just called to pass by. We are not just called to appear in time for a season. But we are called to carry the burden of the tribes. As long as we live, God will hear our voices pressing against the altar in the heavens above and giving him reasons to intervene upon the face of the earth. This man is a priest. I want to end by showing us the last piece. Because if you see this priest, are you there? This priest has a turban. That white thing, that thing there, is a turban. Are you there? This is what I call a mitre. A mitre is a turban. Those of you that have stayed where Muslim people have stayed, there's a way they dress. Alright, so the turban or the mitre. The mitre represents the mind of Christ. Do you still remember the priest, Joshua the high priest, that was summoned into the presence of God? He had filthy garments and Satan was standing to resist him. Zechariah, a human mortal, was summoned into that court session. And God allowed Zechariah to speak and to suggest something in court. And Zechariah says, let a fair mitre be placed upon his head. The reason why he was in sin was because his mind was not renewed. So he needs the mind of Christ in order for him to live above the field of this garment. This man, in the practice of priesthood, there are some things you cannot watch on your phone. Because you need to maintain your mind. Yeah, you need to maintain your mind. There are some movies you cannot watch because you need to maintain that mind. The prophetic gifts, they work in conjunction with your thoughts. So your thoughts are supposed to be sanctified in order for the Holy Spirit to drive his initiatives through your mind. If you are trusting God to be an accurate prophet, to be able to pick the mind of God, you will pay a price to ensure that your mind is always in a sanctified state so that God can invite you through your mind for you to think his thoughts. Are you there? Now, I did not plan to go this far with these garments because... Okay. So, after the mitre, the next thing is what we call the diadem. The diadem is like a crown. Are you there? It's like a crown. And I want to take it from the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse number 5. And then we will close for today. We will pray for today. And maybe when we come next, we'll still continue on this subject. The consecrated believer. There are some matters I need to raise to us. Critical matters. All right? Who is there in the book of Isaiah? Yes, Maria?
Isaiah 28
verse 5.
In that day shall the Lord of hosts
be for a crown of glory
and for a diadem of beauty
That's the crown of glory. That's the crown. That's the last piece that the priest, the high priest, puts on his head before he's suited to be able to walk into the Holy of Holies. That's the last piece. The crown of glory and the diadem of beauty. It is when he puts the diadem that we can say he is beautiful. Because the garments were made for glory and for beauty. Glory and beauty is not yet achieved until he puts the diadem. So the Bible says, in that day the Lord shall be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty. Yes?
Unto
the residue of his people. Yes, it has not finished yet. Go on.
And for a spirit of judgment to him.
That same crown of glory, that same diadem of beauty, can manifest as the spirit of judgment. Oh, you are not with me.
Yes.
It has two manifestations. It can manifest as a spirit of judgment to him that sits in the seats of judgment. It can also manifest as what? As strength. Read to us.
Spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to him that turn the battle
to the gates. So the diadem can manifest as strength to the spiritual warrior that wants to take the battle to the gate. The diadem can also manifest as the spirit of judgment to the one that sits in judgment. You will become a radical when you put on that diadem. You are either taking the battle to the gate or releasing judgment to him that sits in judgment. Who told you that being a Christian is just being quiet? This garment empowers you. Oh, in that day the Lord of hosts will be a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people. It shall be a spirit of judgment to him that sits in judgment, and for strength to him that takes the battle to the gates. These are the garments that this man is supposed to wear in order for him to operate this office. Think about it. Do you realize? Are you there?
Yes.
The Levite His own garments cover his nakedness, cover his flesh. The Levite, in the life of the Levite, God is dealing with sin, flesh. So there are people that can wear the garment of the gift of the Holy Spirit, but there's still flesh. So the fruit is not present. So that's the dealing of the Levite. He's anointed, but he has no character. He should not represent Jesus. Nobody should give him the opportunity to hold the microphone. Nobody should see him when he's still a Levite. He will bring disrepute to the name of Jesus. And there are many Levites on international podiums and platforms. Can you see that the priest has gone beyond that? And he has been able to put the Levite, the priest, his own emphasis comes to his heart. Because that's where most of the things that pertain to his own operation, they reside. That's where God begins to deal with things like bitterness. Because people will want to make you wicked. Because they know that you are a believer. Don't give them that opportunity. Because your strength is your heart. Have you read that the joy of the Lord is your strength? If the God of salvation in your heart is joyful, that is the day that you are strong. You can go to war that day. So Satan will do everything in order to take that joy away and then leave the stench of bitterness. So you are there fighting with yourself. Most of the dealings of the priest will be heartward. Most of the dealings of the Levite will be fleshward. And most of the dealings of the high priest will be mindward. So where are you on that journey? It is when you win the battles of the mind with your mitre, that's when you can open the scriptures and it will become thus says the Lord. Thus said the Lord. The hand of his power will be manifested in your life. The other day we were going to the shop. Was Philip with me? Philip, I think you were with me. We were going to the shop. And the lady had finished shopping. She was on her way out. We had not yet entered into the shop. And we just crossed paths. I don't know the lady. The lady just stopped and said, "Who are you? Who are you?" It was a very serious situation. So we just escaped and entered into the shop. Since you are going, safe journey home. And we were doing our stuff. Were you there? Yeah. So we were doing our stuff in the shop. And then the lady traced me again and came. I said, "Who are you?" Jesus. That was how we led her to Christ. And where are your dealings? Are they in your mind? If they are in your mind, it means that you are in the maturity class. It means that God can come to you and share his secret, the things that trouble him. You can have discussions with God. When you open the Bible, he begins to speak to you. Ezekiel begins to prophesy again. Each one of us has been called to put on his garments. What are the thoughts of your mind? Do demons hack into your mind and give you thoughts? You are still holding grief. One bitterness. Somebody did this in 25 years. You are still holding on. Let it go. So that you can put on your mitre. And the moment you put on the crown of glory, you are no longer neutral. Because God gives you the authority to be able to judge. And he gives you the authority to be able to fight the enemy at the gates. You know, you might see the priest in this regalia and you might think it is a pious, a sanctimonious, a sacramental kind of... No, it equips to advance the kingdom of God. Is anybody ready to be consecrated? I don't know how many garments you want to allow today. You just say, okay, no, let me go with 3 for now. Let me go with 6. I'll think about the remaining. Can we rise as we pray together? We want to go beyond the flesh. 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 We want the Lord to take possession of our minds and take to our thoughts and invite us to reason with Him. He said, oh, come, let us reason together. Kabrose telia makakunda. Escoses aliko braminakuse maisa conta milo coria sika brento conte baba balata. Abrocose seliko samasuria bracatola maseli bocoria santori. Sheminan sosela habresco samande curia babale naya. God has been trying to put on that mitre on your head for a long time, so that you will begin to function with the mind of Christ. Mero cosantelino ore casico rato saminato eco centoria prama cusqueta mila halebate escose rabe somenacudia brasqueto bocoro cosantoria. Yeto seke la iko makala bosa malia baba 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 rokes kaminale. He's looking for men. He wants to take the whole of you, your mind, your heart, your emotions. He wants to take it over and fill you with Himself. Mamore kesaba umbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Oh, Lord. Kumbaya. Singing Kumbaya. Kumbaya. Because of the office of the priest that you occupy, you will need to be clothed with garments. God will not force any piece of that garment on you. No. He will not force it on you. Those garments are virtues.
There are virtues that you have in Christ, but it will not manifest, meaning you have not put it on. It will not manifest until you reach a certain level of consecration. He wants us to wear those things. Indeed, we have them. It will not manifest until you consecrate yourself. It is the extent of consecration that will determine the manifestation of these virtues. Are you with me? Somebody needs to tell God intentionally tonight, I am willing. I am willing. If you've kept back 20% of your life, that's what the Lord has come for tonight. The last 20%, the 2%, the 5% that you have still held from His hands, that's what He came for tonight. We are willing. We yield. We submit. We submit completely. We let go of that bitterness so that you might feel us. We let go that pain so that you might heal us. We let go the pride so that you might command us. Can we cry to Him? In your own words, your own personal statement of consecration to God is what you are presenting to His altar this evening. We come. With every beat, every portion, every part of our estate, and we submit it completely. We submit it completely. Let it be that in my life, that which you have ordained, let me enter into it. Let it not be like Israel, that had an ordination but could not enter into that ordination, because they were not willing to consecrate themselves to God. I want to be like the house of Aaron, that eventually shouldered a national calling. Oh my God. Roke Samayato Ekomenari Kesantoria Gemina Contebre Alaito Cobra Minasika Bela Canto. Escoma la brode, escoma la bracatala, alla branda baboria sima la itale, ecose te cabola, ebria la babose cae, ebria la babatama scomba lei, ascote cabi la monte, ayatos comantelia, and oh God, 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 I submit to your will, to your way, in the name of Jesus. Mantoreka basantoria, manto barakose makadia, manto roko santoria, manto kela minaki laboborantali, eka masala baboria, esomena kanta, esomena kuriba santo, elamandi, elamandi, yekosi. Yekosi, as we consecrate them all, He begins to cause those things to manifest. As we consecrate, it manifests. As we consecrate, it manifests. As we yield, it manifests more. There is more in God. He's offering you much more than you are willing to receive tonight. We yield. We yield. Ese keri mamasi, roke samakonda. We yield. Yakori asime, elondera kasi mamaya, elakes, elabankaya. Ela somenata, ela brante kola bonsame, ai koke la breskama montale, ai samakonda, ela brosketa minakadia, emo rabasike, makayote malua santo, iskobe mola, iskeke mamaya, isaminda, ai babo, ila mamose. Alo kokore, ali na momore, Ayabos, Ayibos, Ayibes, Ayina Oroke, Ilakoske, Ali Momo, Ilololololoya, Escobre, Mantekoske, Tamina Korea, Ela Briska Bose, Ayedore Mamasike. In Jesus' mighty name. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. And he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And these he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. That's the mind of Christ. See. In every situation, Jesus had a solution. So he just tested Philip. Say, where are we going to get bread to buy for these people? And obviously, Philip had no answer. In that problem that you have no answer to, the mind of Christ has the answer. The mind of Christ knows what to do. You see, you have received all these things, but it will not manifest until your consecration is commensurate. And that's why what we see in our lives are different. It is the story of your consecration that determines the level of manifestation that is seen in your life. Some people have access to the mind of Christ. They confront the same challenges, the same situations, but their response is different because they have access to a kind of intelligence. Oh my. That's where we need to be. Can we make a request tonight? Whatever it would take for me to begin to function at the level of the mind of Christ, Lord, take me through it. Whatever it would take for me to operate at the level of the mind of Christ, Take me through that process. In the name of Jesus. That's the mitre. He himself knew what he would do. But he just made that statement just to test Philip. Could it be that God is testing you with that situation, hoping that you will request for the mind of Christ? Hoping that you will request for intelligence from God. Could it be he's testing you? Could it be that he's saying to you, how long will you tarry with your own wisdom when I'm here with you, willing to share intelligence with you? Could it be? Mabo seke talibo korea. Maroko santoria. Mesko se labina kantene, abre sobina kaske, kuria bababase, abranta babose kesa, mina kuria bahalatare, esko se la kunta mena izale, ekayanto mina subria tababunde, ekayanto mina santo, ekaseli babaria, esko se sela munda babarokos, emaita kose kaminaila, ebrokesko samanto, ebro makala babonde. Esa mina, esa kalia, esa somina konda, iko samakanta baboria, elo menasi, elo kabesi, elo kabasi. He himself knew what he would do. He himself knew what he would do. He knew. Shabosi baleti, shabo mantadi bokuria, shabo menasi kabranteli. Asketo bela kido banse, Alamanta babodia cancela. Escobami. Escosamagunda. He himself knew. He himself knew what he will do. You know. You have allowed us, confronted us with a puzzle, with a quiz, hoping that we will desire your mind. We seek your mind. Oh, Masika Bella Coria. Hello, Jose Mansalike. Ella broke Sabo Coria. Ala Babayato. Ala Semina Coria. Escoba Benny. We seek your mind. We seek your wisdom. Avero Jose. Avero Maliatala. Esoma Coria. Menta babore capasando. He himself knew. He knew. He's waiting for you to ask. He knew. I am boss. Imakande. I am a mala santa. I am many a selabonde. Eko brahma masaya. Ilo seka manteli. You will not walk without wisdom from this day. There is a wisdom solution to the questions you ask. You will not walk without wisdom. The light of God will shine on you. The Spirit of God will inspire you with the mind of Christ. Oh, sila bole, bobo santoria, yela sika mante baboria. Yeka baba basanta babonde, ale sukela, ale mandola, ale makayango, ale sovenale, ale branda babose, ale kuri baba santelia, ale mante koda babose, ale manta babole makadia, ale manta branda babalala, rokesa, roke mama natali, eskobe marsia la baboria, ela mosete, ela mama. Santoria, you are the one that does not know. He knows the answer. He knows the way that you should walk. Yes, we seek your mind. We seek your mind. We seek your mind in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Shine on me. Shine on me. Your grace, it shines on me. Shine on me. Shine on me. It's your
shine on me.
Walk in darkness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There is someone that the Lord is removing you from darkness. He's removing you from darkness as I speak. He's removing you from darkness. He's removing you from the stranglehold of the enemy. He's offering you liberty. 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 Liberty in the name of Jesus. Liberty in the name of Jesus. Liberty in the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory. We exalt your name. In Jesus' name. If you can, let's observe just a moment of silence. I'm not saying you, right? There is a presence from the Lord that I feel in this place. There is something strong that God wants to do in the life of one of us tonight. Even as we speak, the Lord is doing it already. He's doing it already. He's doing it already. He's doing it already. Tonight is your night. It has pleased the Lord to deliver unto you your package. Your package. Your package has been delivered. Your package has been delivered. Ilose kamaniata. Koria mama sikabel. Koria basuke masalibo. Laiko samakunte. Your package is delivered. Your package is delivered. Your package, it is delivered. 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 I am say, it's delivered. It's delivered. It's delivered unto you. It's delivered unto you. Oh, we give you praise. Lord, let their lives never remain the same again. Let their lives never remain the same again in the name of Jesus. Bring that sister. Joy, bring that sister for me. Bring it. Oh, Sialaba Bokoria, mama. Yes, your package. It is delivered. It is delivered. It's delivered. It's delivered. It's delivered. It's delivered. It is delivered. It is delivered. It is delivered. Mayeko Santo. Mayeko Sila Bakayanto. Mayeko Samina Korea. Beri Nasako. It is delivered. It is delivered. It is delivered. It is delivered. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It is delivered. It is delivered. It is delivered. Oh my God. It is delivered. It is delivered. Maya Kose. Maya Salibakande. Maya Suke Mantalia. Maya Babolekaski. Hello, Bria Santo. Ella Kila Bobo Santo. Ella Minasika. Ella Scabelaite. Ama Mondeli. Ama Suka Bante. Your package is delivered. Your package, it is delivered. It is delivered. It is delivered. Let it come and so many. Echo Sela Boboria. Echo Mamalatai. Esomena. Ekayako. Eka Semena Konda. Ah. 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 Kila Mose. Esia Mama. Ekayet. Your package is delivered. It's delivered. It's delivered. It's delivered. Maya Korea Babasike. Lebros Kento Malakantalia. Leko Rabasoke Malikaya. Oh, La Rocose. La Rababoria. That's it. Your package. Your package. It is delivered. It is delivered. It is delivered. Laise Kababode. Amenoselia. Amena Korea Babalanto. Esamina Kelly. Arokes Kote Malakoria Babalanto. So anytime the Lord puts his hand in my hands the way I feel it now, there's someone that the Lord wants to give you something. He wants to put something in your hand. Yes, it was okay. It is released. Yes, something is being released. Oh, Sabo Kore Malaita. Sabo Maleki Ala Babosa. Heso Korea Babasika. Ayabosa mena kura basentoria. Eso mena ikela. Yata konda mina sale. Yata salababodi bakadia. Ora masanto. Ora masakayanto. Ora masemina kadia. Lord, that which releases. Oh my God. Mawa sali. Mawa kalabon samakadia indarababose yako samakunda eskobra maise eskobra makayanto oriakaselait elamonda iskobamadai. That which you are releasing, let your people receive it in the name of Jesus. Let your people receive it. Let it come upon them. Let a new dimension of operation begin in her life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let a new dimension of the grace of God begin in your life in the name of Jesus. Laeko Samande. Laeko Riabababo. If you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, we are going to pray in the Spirit just for 2 minutes. For 2 minutes. For 2 minutes. For 2 minutes. We pray in the Spirit. for two minutes. Deashika, lashika mantekoria, ala masoke ba modekaske, ayabose kati ala babunda, ama satalia, ama menakura baseli, edokoria ba masi, edosamenaite, etayeta, etasando makanda, eso makaya, eso se, ame kuria baba moko, ame samena. There is a shift. There is an upgrade. In the name of Jesus. An upgrade. Laie se coria. Hello Koda. Yabobo Samakanda. Ala Koske. Ala Maseli. An upgrade. In the name of Jesus. That concerns your people tonight in the name of Jesus. Perfect all that concerns your people tonight in the name of Jesus. Take away what you have not planted. Remove what is seeking to grow that you have not ordained. Do a miracle. Do a miracle. Do a miracle in the lives of your people. In the name of Jesus. There is a curse that someone has borne that is being reversed as we speak. So what you could not do before, you'll be capable of now. Because the Lord has begun with you. The Lord has begun with you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we give you praise. We give you honor. We magnify your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Pastor Rufus.